Hey, everybody. This is Joe, the host of the No Bad Karma podcast, and I'm doing something I don't usually do. I'm giving you a little post-episode recording intro to today's episode and the whole Instacarting for Earth Revival series. You see, I wrote this four-part Instacarting for Earth Revival series on February 17th, 2024. And at the end of the day, so that was, you know, damn near a month ago. And at the end of the day, I'm trying to get you to realize one thing. No matter how badly things go for you, there's always a way out. But you should always look beyond surviving. You need to pursue your passions, pursue your goals. And in the next couple episodes, I'm going to be a little lighter about things and tell you how I've tried to make the most of it. Instacarting, that is. But don't settle for surviving. If you want to thrive, then by God, thrive. But manifesting your future, getting what you want, also requires doing. It requires working towards your goal. So why this intro? Well, I'll tell you, this was a really, really, really tough episode for me to record. And let me explain why. Because in May 2023, I was short of $25,000 on a payment for a project. And that's what I talk about in this episode. I give you a longer version of that. But it stopped my life. Stopped it. My entire year. My business, my side projects, my life as a whole. It all depended on that payment. And it put me on a clock. I could only squeak by on what I had to rely on, the resources I did have to rely on, until the end of 2023. I was going to be pretty much broke by January 1st. And that's what led me to Instacarting. If I'm going to tell you and suggest to you what to do when you're down, then I have to tell you what I do when I'm down and what led me to it and how I'm trying to make the most of it. That's why I wrote this series. That's why I knew I needed to tell my story. But it's not about my story. It's what you can take from it. So this is where it gets interesting, because I recorded part two, the episode you're about to hear, yesterday morning on March 13th around 6 in the morning. And I'm a kind of guy that's up early, and I've been itching to get this out. But I had to get out there again yesterday and get on with my day and try to make some money. So while my partner and pets were asleep, I sat in my dining room and recorded this episode so I could get this one out of the way. And I listened back to it. Again, something I don't normally do. And I know the tone of the episode is a little more subdued than I wanted. And in part, it's just because I was trying to be quiet. But I also realize it's just a really tough subject matter for me to talk about. And you'll hear me stumble over a couple of spot edits I made in my text as I was recording. And that's because the truth is I'm really still pissed about it. I'm still pissed about what happened to me. It's been 10 months since I was stiffed. I'm still furious about it in some very compartmentalized level. So I need to control my emotions on that to manage my own mental health. But I was going to re-record the episode. But again, I changed my mind. And here's why. This story just keeps getting interesting. More interesting. Because the evening before I recorded that episode, almost exactly 12 hours before, I went and looked at the timestamps. I applied to my 75th contract opportunity in my most recent round of looking for a regular gig the last couple of months. 75th on Indeed. And exactly 12 hours after recording that episode, about 6 p.m. last night, I was asked to take the next step in the process for what I would really call a dream gig. Perfect gig for me. Here's the lesson. People, persistence pays. Work pays. Doing the right thing pays. No, I don't have the gig yet. I don't even have the formal interview lined up yet. But it doesn't matter. because the right opportunity found me as much as I found it. In fact, I didn't even know how much of a dream opportunity it was. The right people found me. I talk about my financial implosion in today's episode. And you know what? The day I imploded, a new client reached out to me. The right people found me. When I got screwed in May 2023, I was going back to the dating scene intentionally. In June 2023, the right girl found me. People, persistence pays. Work pays. Doing the right thing pays. Pursuing your passion pays. It's what happens when you live and love intentionally. It's what happens when you give your choices purpose and you give them a purpose bigger than yourself. So I put in a musical interlude before today's message at Circus, acquired from Pixabay on 2/22/24. And I hope you find some nugget of usefulness in today's episode. I love when I pick up new followers on NoBadKarma.com. That's the handle on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Hit me up. Here comes Circus, and I'll see you soon. There's this old song by the Bare Naked Ladies. I feel I may have mentioned it once before. It's called "Tonight is the Night I Fell Asleep at the Wheel." It's from their album Maroon, released in 2000. And I can't play commercial songs, so you'll have to check it out on your own. But the lyrics are set to this slow drone of a minstrel-like circus beat. Stephen Page, who's no longer with the band, handles the lead vocals on this one. And it's a song about a guy driving home to see his person, let's assume it's his wife, and he gets in a car accident and dies. And let me tell you about the song, and then I'll tell you why I thought about it. In the first verse, it's like he's talking to his wife and telling her what happened. He says, "Driving home to be with you, the highway's dividing, the city's in view. As usual, I'm almost on time. You're the last thing that's on my mind. I wish I could tell you the way that I feel, but tonight is the night I fell asleep at the wheel." And he continues that in the second verse. But in a way, you can feel him transition to an observer of the scene. He says, "No commotion, no screaming breaks. Most of it's over before I awake. From the ceiling, my coffee cup drips, while out of my window, the horizon does flips. The worst part was hitting the ground, not the feeling so much as the sound. Can't help but wonder if all this is real, because tonight is the night I fell asleep at the wheel." And then in the third verse, he's doing just that. Now he's talking about his observation of the scene, and he says, "Rubberneck traffic and passersby, a slow motion Walter, the fire engine guy, stand around with their mouths open wide. I heard some idiot ask if someone's inside. With the jaws of life, they tried and they tried. Nobody here can know how I feel, because tonight is the night I fell asleep at the wheel." And then the fourth and final verse starts with, "In all the confusion, there's something serene. I'm just a posthumous part of the scene." And you can hear himself accepting that he's dead. And then the last two lines are, "I can see my face slump with a grin, and you." And then he closes out with, "You're the last thing on my mind." And I love that song because you can feel the whole transition as he sings it. If you listen to it, put it on. I love Spotify. Put it on your Spotify or Apple Music and listen to it. But you can just feel that whole transition. And it really gives you the ability to step away, and it reminds you that you should step away and observe yourself and your surroundings. So in this song, he's doing it because he died. But forget death for a minute. You know, I mean, the song might be about death, but it's not about death for a minute here. Because whether Ed and Steven intended it, there's something you can take from that. It's really, you know, to me, about stepping out of yourself for a minute and observing yourself and your surroundings. And really, I'd argue that if you don't do that once in a while, that's death. So let me tell you the title of that song again and then why I thought of it. You know, the title of the song is "Tonight is the Night I Fell Asleep at the Wheel." And I thought of it because I was thinking to myself, today is the day I financially implode. I love music and I love singing tunes, and I will, you know, something catches my ear and something going on in my life, and I'll start singing that to myself and making up new words as I go along. And I was singing that, "Today is the day I financially implode," on Thursday, February 22nd, 2024, because it was the day I was financially imploding. And if you know the definition of imploding, it's usually something instantaneous, like the Titan submersible that went down to see the Titanic and it imploded. The pressure from the outside water came in and killed all those people instantaneously. Well, I wish financial implosion was instantaneous, because it's not. It's something that's a slow burn. You know, it really, for me, and it started about 2 weeks before that date, before the peak. And I guess the peak's really a valley. And then there's a slow burn for a couple weeks after that. You know, unfortunately, I've been there before. Not the first time, not the worst time either, but I experienced that probably 4 or 5 times in my life now. One of the worst times was in 2019 when I quit drinking, and you know where this whole podcast is based out of, when I found myself with absolutely nothing because of my previous bad choices. And I started the No Bad Karma podcast because of how I felt at that time. Speaking of which, today's episode 5 of the 2024 season of the No Bad Karma podcast. And it's the second part of the 4-part Instacarting for Thrivival series. And it's a 4-part series because there's 4 things I wanted to chat about. In the last episode, part 1, I talked a little bit about survival versus thrivival mentality. You know, do you do things to survive or to thrive? And in this episode, part 2, I really just want to focus on the deeply personal specifics on what led me to Instacarting. And you have to forgive me if today's episode's a little heavy. The next two will definitely be lighter and more fun. But you have to remember, I'm Instacarting for thrivival, not just survival, but survival's part of it. And in part 3, I'll talk a little bit about my own personal Instacarting experience and share what I've learned, and I'll get a little more specific on how I, every day when I'm out there Instacarting, I'm really trying to thrive instead of just survive. And then in the 4th part, I'm going to talk about how to take something you don't want to do to survive and turn it into an opportunity to thrive. And I talked a little bit about that in the first episode, of course, but I'm going to get more specific and maybe put a challenge or an opportunity out there for someone else to take on. It's something I would love to do myself, but it's not the right time for me in my life. But I have a fun little challenge that I'm going to toss out there. But like I said, today's episode is to focus on some personal specifics on what led me to Instacarting, because we all have these things in our lives that will drive us to do something. And I subtitled this episode, beg, borrow, steal, or earn. So before I tell you what led me to Instacarting, let me tell you what I normally do professionally. You know, and I've alluded to it a few times, but I've never really come right out and said it, but I'm an independent marketing management consultant. And you're going to say, okay, what the hell is that? Well, I started out doing business-to-business market research and quickly got into selling contact management. It was called then, now it's called CRM software. But really, my forte was on the data behind it and the analysis of data. And that comes a lot from my research background. But I focus on all kinds of things that touch the sales and marketing process. I work on, very often, the IT side of things. Like I said, the data side of things. I work with sales and marketing people, sales and marketing data. I manage and conduct research. I've worked with some of the biggest companies on this planet. In fact, one time I was looking at the 10 biggest companies in the country. This was several years back, and I'd worked for like 7 of them. I can point to businesses across the country today that I worked with when they were ideas on paper before anyone even knew about them. I work on strategic planning initiatives. I help build and maintain brands for companies. I provide them information to do that. And over the last few years, there's been a lot of talk about the gig mentality that's developed since COVID. You know, I just recently read about a half dozen articles on, you know, different people's gig experience and how people don't want to work regular jobs anymore because they only want to work gigs, or people only want to work from home now because they did that during COVID. But this isn't that. This isn't a hobby. This is my life, and it's been my life for 30 years. It's how I supported my family. It's how I paid for my daughter to go to private school. It's how I bought the best health insurance money could buy for my family. So it's not something I started during COVID. It's not something I started a year ago or 5 years ago or even 10 years ago. I've been doing this for 30 years. And of those 30 years, I've been doing it for 20 of those 30 years as an independent, out on my own. No safety net of a company. But, and this is a really important part of today's story, I maintained a relationship with my original employer that I started with 30 years ago, where I got my start in consulting. And he was small when I started with him. I mean, it was a little two-room office the size of a couple of, each room was the size of a big walk-in closet. And myself and another guy quickly became his right and left hands. And we grew the company from about 4 full-time employees to about 25. And then after about 10 years with him, I very amicably, for the most part, parted ways with him and went out on my own. Kept in touch with him for 10 years. And then 10 years after that, like I said, I was, you know, myself and one other guy were the right and left hands. The other guy left. And he needed help with a couple of projects that we did each year. And they were projects that I had nearly 30 years ago. So he asked me to come back and help him out. And help him out with the pet project. So how the hell did I go from consulting to Instacarting to feed myself? Well, and this is really personal. But that guy stiffed me to the tune of $25,000. $25,000. Not $250, not $2,500, $25,000. So let me tell you about this guy a little bit. He's not just a former employer. He was a friend. He was a mentor. And supposedly, he was a supporter of me accomplishing his goals as much as I was a supporter of him accomplishing his. You know, there's only about five people in the world who know my most personal secrets, dreams, the ins and outs of my story. And he was one of them. But just like I was a cheater, he cheated me. Now that story isn't over, that whole situation with him. But you know what? That doesn't do me any good right now. And it won't do me any good until it is. When you're expecting $25,000 to fall in your bank account and it doesn't, well, that leaves an impact that you just can't get over instantaneously. But let me elaborate on that a little bit, picking up where I left off on the last episode. Because in the last episode, I left off at March, April, May 2021 when I started recording the No Bad Karma podcast. And most importantly, I was talking about how I was getting back on the wheel of life, how I decided how I wanted to live my life, how I decided I wanted to thrive. And March, April, May 2021, I started doing some of those things I talked about in the last episode. I started putting my plan for life, for thrivival, in action. I talked about how I wanted to develop my own add-ons to the software I sold, and I started doing that. Things I did commonly in business. I needed to develop my skills in new areas, so I became very intentional about learning those things. This guy had a pet project that I was working on, and when there was an opportunity to build my knowledge as a result of the project he wanted to get done, I did it. In my free time, I would work on developing things myself for him. Sometimes I'd work all weekend. But then on Monday morning, I'd be able to apply that to his pet project, or vice versa. I might get stuck on something, you know, at my job, and I chip it at it away all day and night till I figured it out, because I also knew it could help me as much as it would help him. Because I was taking any opportunity I had to grow and thrive, and I would just embrace that. And with this guy, with this past employer, we were openly working towards our mutual success. I knew what he wanted to accomplish. He knew what I wanted to accomplish. And I was pursuing my joy once and for all and trying to help him pursue his. But the end of 2021 came around, and this was an intentional plan with him, and I'm expecting to part ways and go out on my own again. And it was something we had talked about. We both knew it. But I was also enjoying the stability. And I wasn't, you know, really quite ready, but I could have. And then he approached me and said, "Oh, just stay another year. Stay for 2022. I want to move on," I said. I know, he said. "But help me finish this pet project. And if we can't make it work, we'll do our end of year project at the end of 2022 and I'll split it with you." Because you see, he's about 20 years my senior and he's wrapping up his career. And his pet project was part of his legacy, but it didn't generate any revenue. It was something he was working on for 10 or 12 years. Actually, 14 years. I recently looked it up. And here, you know, I'm kind of peaking and really getting ready to go back out on my own and apply all this new stuff I've learned and with a sober head. And in addition to his pet project, we only had one other project that generated revenue in the year. And it supported us for the whole year. And it was the only project he had for about 6 or 7 years now. And instead of being 25 people, he's back down to 4 people again. And that one project supported all of us. Stay and help me with it, he said. Stay and help me. And like I said, I thought, well, you know, I thought a lot about how what I've said, you shouldn't establish relationships to take advantage of an opportunity, but it's okay to take advantage of an opportunity presented as a result of a relationship you already have. And this was that. This was an opportunity for both of us. So I bit. Because the stability I had in 2021 really, and most of 2020, really let me start moving my life forward intentionally. I didn't quite think of it the same back then, but that's what I was doing. I was intentionally moving my life forward. One of the intentional things I was trying to do was save my house. And so I knew I'd have a place to be as long as I needed. So I was thankful I didn't have to rush my plans. I could take a minute and just do better. So I said yes. But this one more year he wanted only lasted 3 months. He ran out of money. He ran out of money, and I found myself with no income just a year after it was spring 2021 when I set out to do this. Now it's spring 2022, and I find myself with no income. Now, what happens when people don't have money coming in and they have regular jobs? Well, that's what unemployment's for. And it was something I never, 56 years old, whatever I was then, 53 years old, 54 years old, never had I collected unemployment or depended on someone else or the social service system to fund my life. But when you work for somebody, that's an entitlement you get. So, you know, I file for unemployment and you think, oh yeah, that provides income. But you know what that provided? 25% of what I was making. You know what else it did? Destroyed my ability to save my house, destroyed my ability to pay my bills on time because my paycheck went from, you know, X thousand a month to zero. And then when it did kick in, it kicked in to a quarter of what I was making. So then I had to deal with finding a new place to live. And I had to adjust, spend the rest of 2022, most of the 9 months, 7 to 9 months remaining in 2022, just adjusting my life to a new reality. And like I said, he asked me to stay. So now I wasn't quite ready to go back out on my own. I was still invested with him. I put my plans on simmer. So the funny thing about that is I really should have been pissed at the guy for telling me that he wanted me to work for him for another year and then running out of money 3 months into that, right? But I accepted some of the responsibility. That's what I get for starting to get comfortable, I said. That's the nature of my business, I said. Consulting's a feast or famine business, so you have to learn how to live with that, and you have to learn to expect some ups and downs sometimes. But, you know, I mean, this was a big roller coaster hill. It wasn't really what I was expecting. And, you know, I had realized I should probably move on from my marital property anyhow. And I have my own pet project to look forward to and, you know, my own business. And then, so I never blamed myself, but I accepted some responsibility. And that one project a year that that we had that generated money, right? He said, he wanted to continue that project. And then we'd cash out. So I never gave it a second thought when he kept calling me for things he needed. And the end of the year comes around, and so does that project. And you know what you're going to do when you expect a big payday? You think about your tax return. It's tax time, right? You plan around it. So the end of 2022 comes around. I've been working with the guy for 7 months at this point, essentially for free. And I did that because we made a plan together, right? This project that generated revenue was supposed to help us both with our next steps, his retirement and my amicable departure again. That project was supposed to provide me with essential living expenses until I paid the until I was paid the bulk of it, the $25,000, when the client paid. Those payments were supposed to come in January, February, and then April or May 2023. So I had my whole life planned out on that next project, even after the guy screwed me, right? I had my whole next steps planned out on that, depending on him. And that final payment was basically going to carry me for the rest of 2023. It was my survival and my thrivival. Those living expenses included money to keep my business going, the thrivival stuff I talked about. I needed that money. And I needed the time that money would give me so I could finish doing those things I should have done 10 years ago, building my business and life like I wanted to when I heard that message I talked about in part one. Think about that for a minute. Because if you're expecting a big payday, right, that you've earned, you plan on it and you plan your future on that. And this was my time to pursue my passions and my joys. And one of my passions, one of the things I wanted to do, one of my pet projects, was to start a nonprofit that's an online directory of food pantries, shelters, and other social services that speak to the needs of that first layer of survival, that bottom layer of the Maslow pyramid I've talked about, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that bottom layer. You can't feel good about yourself until you're clothed, you have food, you have shelter. Because I don't want other people to have to struggle. That website is called jcsnetwork.org, jcsnetwork.org. you can go and check it out. And you, depending on when you check it out, you'll see it was on hold because it was supposed to be launched a year ago. Because I was doing one of the things I talked about in the last episode. I was trying to use my skills, my gifts, my funds, things I was working on for my business, for my joy, to just do something good for humanity. Because I wanted to. It brings me joy. And it was important to me because it was part of me going back to market. That site reflected one of the things I did. It reflects many of the things I do professionally. It was, I talk about writing those software add-ons, you know, the things I do in real life. I was in my professional life, I was taking and applying to something else so other people can benefit. And that money I was expecting was going to enable me to take care of debt hanging over my head from my divorce and my previous bad decisions. It was truly setting a stage for me to thrive. I would once and for all be living intentionally. And when I say living intentionally, I mean doing it there, arrived. But like I said, I'm Instacarting. So how the hell did I end up Instacarting? Obviously, something didn't go as planned. Oh no, I never got that big payment. Instead of getting my token living expense payments in January 2023, came 5 weeks later in February. Instead of getting my token living expense payment in February 2023, it came 7 weeks late in April 2023, just a few days before I desperately, desperately needed it. When's the last time your paycheck was 5 weeks late or 7 weeks late? And then instead of getting my big payment in April 2023, instead of getting the $30,000 I was expecting, I got one-sixth of it. I got stiff $25,000. Talk about being bitter. Excuse me. A friend of mine once said he went through the drive-thru at McDonald's for a dollar burger that cost him $36 because of an overdraft fee. I was traveling on business 1 year, several years back, had to pay a bill one day, and was 1 minute late logging into a website to pay it, and the late fee was there. Why is it when we're a second late owing somebody something, the wolves come to get us? But there are people out there that just pay us whenever and whenever they want and whatever they want. Reminds me of Donald Trump thinking he can do anything. So it about destroyed me. And instead of being able to thrive, I was forced to survive again. In fact, I'd say I've really struggled to survive. But, you know, I have the good fortune of family, specifically my parents, who knew this guy, knew the situation. They helped me get by while I waited for those payments to come in. But I had a whole life plan built on this. And like I said, I have business expenses. I have a dog. I have a personal life. I have a daughter who counts on me. And the parents that were helping me, well, they also count on me. I was trying to date intentionally. Do you know how hard it is to date without money? I literally put my dating life on hold for months. You know, if you've listened to this podcast, you know I accept responsibility for my mistakes. And that's because it's my responsibility to handle my life, no one else's. Just like it's your responsibility to handle yours. And I hope that's not an epiphany for anyone, but sadly, it is. So when I started the first episode of this season talking about New Year's, that was very intentional. Because at the end of 2023, at the first of the year, I couldn't keep doing it. You can't survive on anything. I used to joke it took 3 years to blow up my life and 4 years to rebuild it. Four turned into five. Five turned into six. People, I'm tired. I'm not just tired. I'm fucking exhausted. I'm drained. I cut every expense I could. I've sacrificed everything I can. I sacrifice every luxury people take for granted out there. But in some ways, that isn't hard for me. Because I had to do it before. But I've used up all the energy I had. So I couldn't go out and get the clothes I want, the things I want for my dog. I can't even get my hair cut as frequently as I want. I'll cook my partner a nice dinner instead of taking her out. I see something I want for her and I can't get it. I see something I want for the house, can't get it. I recently Gorilla Glued the wheel back on my office chair. I don't own dress clothes anymore. I have one pair of jeans that's too big and the other one has a rip in the crotch. I'd like to surprise my daughter with something nice once in a while and I can't do that. I went out and got health insurance when I expected that payment and I couldn't pay it and I had to let that go. And like I said, I wanted to pay off debt hanging from my past bad choices, from my divorce. How many people want to pay on their debt? I do. And what I say back in 2021, I said if all I'm going to be doing is living to be paying bills, and I'm going to have the best damn time of my life doing it. I'm going to pursue my joys, my passions. I'm going to start holding out for a partner that gets that. And I talked about all that in the Wheel of Life episode back there in 2021. But I'm Instacarting. Because after making all those changes, after cutting back everything I could, after getting that measly payment instead of the plus $25,000 I was expecting, I knew I could only survive like that until the end of 2023. And what else do we have at the end of the year? Christmas. So, around the beginning of December, my partner and I were talking about the complexities of life, as we like to call them. And because we talk openly and honestly about everything, including money, I was telling her how I felt bad about where I was, regardless of the circumstances. You know, frankly, Christmas was coming. This woman's my queen. I want to shower her with gifts. I want to shower my daughter with gifts. And I couldn't. And that just made me feel bad, awful. And in the last episode and in some previous episodes, I've talked about the type of partner I wanted, right? Well, she's her. And when I met her 8 months ago now, 9 months ago, she was a few months into her regular contract gig like I normally have. But, you know, she was still doing some dog sitting on the side as a means of extra income here and there. And she was telling me about some of the things she did to make money as she was trying to get to to her regular gig, because see, she went through exactly what I went through in spring 2021. She went through it in spring 2022. She was going out and recreating her life based on her joys and pursuing her joys and the things she wanted. And she had to survive. And one of the things she did to survive was Instacart. And it took her a year to get to where she wanted to be, just like my plan was supposed to take me a year. God bless her. She's the best. She's trying to encourage me during that conversation and tell me all the things she did. And I was feeling down about it. And you know, because it had taken so much work just to get to that point, just to work so hard to try to move my life forward and to be stiffed and not be able to do the things I want. She understands what it means to move from survival to thrival, from surviving to thriving. And here I am at a point where I'm supposed to be thriving and I'm struggling to survive because the struggle is very real. All I'm trying to do is pay my bills and address my debt. Most people's view is surviving, but for me, that's thriving. That was exactly what she was trying to do and accomplished, shortly before I met her. You know, thriving can mean other things too, you know, fluffy things. Like we share goals or similar versions of goals, like how I want to see every state in the country and she does too. You know, we'd like to see every after we finish the states, we'll start knocking off countries and continents, right? That's really thriving. But I'm Instacarting. Because in that conversation, she said, well, I Instacarted. It's quick money. So like I said, this was at the end of the year. And I decided, well, I guess I'll Instacart so I can buy Christmas gifts for my partner and my daughter. Wasn't intending to do it to survive, wasn't intending to do it to thrive. It was just so I could go out and get Christmas gifts. I needed money, so that's what I did. But then something changed on January 1st, New Year's Day. And I'd like to say it was all because of New Year's, but it wasn't because of New Year's. That was just a day. I thought, fuck survival. Let's figure out how to thrive. So why was it on January 1st? Because after spending Christmas and New Year's with my partner, I had to head back home to Toledo. Now, we're located in the Pittsburgh area, and I had to get back home to Toledo just 3.5 hours away. Because I had my next round of life and business bills coming up. Didn't know how I was going to pay it. I had things I needed to do there. My daughter was home from school. Her birthday was coming up. I needed money for that. And I found myself broke. You know, it only costs about $75 each way to get between those two cities, gas and tolls. But if you don't have it, what do? So on January 1st, I woke up, and while most people are recovering from their New Year's hangover, I went out and started Instacarting. So I could get back to Toledo. put gas in my tank, money on my toll account, and make it home. And I decided that day that if I were going to have to Instacart, I was not just doing it for surviving. I was going to try to thrive. That song I described at the beginning, you know, I talked about financial implosion because the truth is I'm Instacarting for survival, but the long-term goal is survival. And sometimes you got to let the chips fall. But I thought of that song a few weeks ago when I was Instacarting because I was driving. Well, I'll talk about that more in a minute, but I was thought of that song a few weeks ago because one day when I was out Instacarting, I was driving and listening to my GPS tell me where to go. And suddenly I realized I didn't know if I was coming or going. I couldn't remember if I was on my way to the store or to do a delivery or even on my way home. I like totally blanked out for a minute. I was just existing. And when that song I talked about at the beginning came out in 2000, I was traveling for work a few days a week. No matter what was going on in my life, I was always thinking about getting back home. And that song always reminded me to be careful when I was out driving because that guy gets in the car accident and dies, right? But like I said, let's think about that song in the context of life. Because what happens when you're driving the car of life and it crashes? Well, first of all, it's not necessarily you that caused the accident. So as much responsibility as I want to, you know, accept for my own situation and do accept for my own situation, I didn't cause that accident. And maybe you just need to remove yourself from the wreckage for a minute and just take it all in and look at it from the outside. Maybe you need to look at that scene a little better, like I should have done with my old boss the first time, so you don't crash again. I mean, what was I thinking when the guy screwed me 3 months into the first year and I held out and went back and helped him with his end of year revenue making project only to screw me? And if you're not dead, as in if you can pinch yourself and feel it, then you're still here. Are you really going to let someone else get in your way? Are you really going to let someone else have such an impact on your life? And let it kill you? Let it destroy everything you've worked for? I know I won't. Even if it means that one more year I talked about in the last episode turns into two, turns into three. You have to take survival and turn it into something more. And that gave me an idea. And I went out and started Instacarting again. So in the next episode, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how I took my Instacarting survival, turned it into thrivival, and an opportunity to give my choices a purpose bigger than myself. And I'm going to have a little fun with that. I'm going to share a couple Instacarting stories, some tips and tricks, and you can find some videos I've created of myself out Instacarting up on YouTube for a little more fun, something a little lighter than this heavy episode. But no matter what you do, spend every day giving your choices a purpose bigger than yourself. And I'll see you soon.